I'd like to welcome everyone, welcome the family that's here, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rebbeim, and all the Talmidim that have assembled here this morning. This is a very special morning for us in Yeshiva, commemorating an extraordinary person, Rav Meir Folda. Rav Folda was a master mechanech. He had a career of more than 60 years of chinuch. What's more amazing is that throughout that time of 60 years and thousands of Talmidim, he did not forget any Talmid or Talmidah's name. If you walked into his classroom, you remained a student of his for the rest of your life. I consider myself a second generation Talmid of Rav Folda. My mother had the zechus of having Rav Folda when she was in high school in the 60s, and our connection to the family remained since then. Throughout my time here at Yeshiva as well, I have encountered countless Talmidim who have come to me when they were registering for classes or talking about which Rebbeim they wanted to learn with, and they said, my mother or my father told me I have to take shir with Rav Folda. Not a question. So many Talmidim walked into my office with that command, so to say, or that relationship in the back of coming into Yeshiva. So many people felt that warmth and that constant care. I just want to add one more point before I introduce the other speakers. Today you study together Ba'achtus, a text that at the ended with a piece from the Chafetz Chaim. Rav Folda lived the words of the Chafetz Chaim. He was somebody who embodied an unbelievable care for others. The last source of the packet, if you made it there, if you didn't make it there, you'll get there later. It says, I'll just read the English, one must treat the subject like all other people and provide all the acts of kindness that the Torah commands us to provide for a fellow Jew. Rav Folda lived this life of caring for every Jew. It's therefore appropriate that we spend part of this morning learning together in unity. All programs getting together, learning the Chavrusa. Because Rabbi Folda viewed everyone as one yeshiva, as all of his Talmidim. Everyone together, growing together in Avodas Hashem. I'm sure he's receiving much nachas right now, thinking about this gathering together today in this display of Achdus. And finally, Rav Folda left Germany, as you saw in the bio, around the age of 9, where unfortunately many of our grandparents and many of the brothers and sisters and families died and lived a life that ended Al Kiddush Hashem. He came to America, and for over 8 decades he dedicated himself to living a life of Kiddush Hashem. As the Gemara says, the definition of Kiddush Hashem, She'ishem shamayim is'ayv al yadecha. She'ikori v'shone m'shamish tamni chachamim. Rav Folda was a shamish, he was very close with the Rav. V'yei maso matano benachas imabrios. All of his dealings were honest, with integrity. Ma'abrios omar of the love. What do people say about this person? Ashrei oviv shalom da Torah. Ashrei rabo shalom da Torah. Oy lahem labriyos shalom lam da Torah. Ploni shalom da Torah. Ro kama noim derachav. Kama mesukanim ma'asav. This is the way that Rav Folda lived his life al Kiddush Hashem. Anyone who encountered Rav Folda saw his care for others, his integrity, how he treated everyone, Jew and non-Jew alike, with that same sense of dignity and respect. We're now going to have a short video clip dedicated to some of the Talmidim of Rav Folda, and then we're going to hear from two speakers, from Rav Reifman Shlita and from Professor Sober.
We never ought to be so arrogant as to think that we understand God's ways. We don't. We are finite and God is infinite. We are circumscribed by time and space, matter and energy. God is totally beyond. So for any one of us to think that we can really gather and comprehend God's ways is a view that is grounded in arrogance that flows from ignorance. So the first thing we have to learn is humility. things to make, even in the face of adversity.
When I think of the late Rabbi Manfred Fulda, Zichrono Livracha, I think immediately of that which we say every evening, right before the Shema, Kehem Chayenu V'Orach Yameinu. Literally, Torah is our life and the length of our days. Rabbi Fulda animated Torah. When he taught, you saw excitement within him.
Rabbi Fulda became the Rebbe to many of us. Unfortunately, in that semester, in the very first semester, my father was nifter. I remember that I turned around at the funeral parlor, and there was Rabbi Fulda towards the back with almost all the members of my class. That's what Rabbi Fulda was all about.
In 1958, I walked in off the streets of Manhattan into basically Europe and the traditions of Europe, and went to my first class in the Mechina that was set up. Rav Fulda was my teacher for dinim.
Now Rabbi Fulda probably had thousands upon thousands of talmidim over the, I think, close to 60 years of teaching, but he knew everybody. And so it was a big zchus to be in his presence and to be a talmid.
Paul's relationship with Rabbi Fulda then became also part of my relationship, as I had him as a teacher at Stern College. And when we went to see him and became closer with him as our Rebbe, one of the most amazing things for us was, since we lost three of our parents quite young, he came to California where we were living at the time for our oldest son's bar mitzvah. And he was there for us, and he was a part of our family and supported us in every way. He was always in touch, and we knew that he was there, and that made a very big difference in our lives and for our children.
He was able to communicate with all generations and all kinds of guys, with yarmulkes, without yarmulkes, tattooed tzadchanim and ultra-Orthodox all at the same time. So this was, we lost a unique voice, but his voice is represented in his students, and we hear it.
One of the most special things I remember about being in his class was the Taras of Mishpacha class, was the way he spoke to us about relationships between a husband and wife, and the way he spoke about his own wife, and the importance of how we treat each other and be there for one another. And I think that, aside from all the halachos that we learned and tried to learn well, that made the biggest impression upon me.
Among Rav Fulda's greatest qualities was his ability to connect with students. And when you spoke to him, you really got the feeling that he was not putting on an act, that he was sincerely interested in you, what you were doing, how you were progressing. During my 50 years at YU, which he was present for all that time, he interacted with me. How are you growing? What are you teaching them? Maybe teach them something like this. What kind of students are we getting? Please send me any student that needs physical or emotional or monetary or help. And so he acted as a strong Rebbe, but and the Mashgiach Ruchani, and a Baal Chesed. And in that way he endeared himself literally to thousands of people. Everyone that you meet has a full story of what the Rebbe did for them, what he said for them, what he changed their lives, etc., etc.
There was something so genuine about him that you loved him, you loved the material, and just like Avram Avinu, who literally was Megayer so many in the sense of bringing people to a love of Judaism, this was the late Rav Manfred Fulda.
Thank you very much, Reshus, the Rebbetzin, family, Rosh Yeshiva, Hanala, of course, Talmidim Yekarim. I was asked to take over Rav Fulda's shiur for this man when he passed away. So I guess that's why I'm speaking. And I was also privileged to be at the Levi in Eretz Yisrael, and I spoke over there too. The pasuk says, we say it every day in davening, Atu Hashem Elokim, Asher Bochatu Ba'Avram, Vatzeisim Rokazdim, Vesantu Shema Avraham, Vatzos Es Levovi Nema Lefanecha. I want to ask two questions. Why Hashem Elokim? And why, what is it meant by the word Avraham? The pasuk says, Umatzasa es lavavo neman lefanecha. Remember the Rav, our Rebbe, Rabbi Yasubeh Shalvechik, in one of his great drashot, said of all the midot, all the different characteristics that people have, good midot, the most important midah of all is ne'manut, to be an ish ne'man. That's the most important of all midah, which means loyalty. Loyalty is the most important character trait that a person can have. The most repeated word in davening is amen. Very interesting. What's the difference between emes and amen? Emes means that something is true. Amen means it's true and I'm committed to it. I'm going to live by this truth. That's what amen is. And that word we say so many times, most important word in Philip and Seaborn. You have to live by the truth, not just know the truth. In Avraham Avinu, God says, Matzata levavo ne'man lefanecha. He lived by the truth. He was loyal to the truth. He was committed to the truth. And that's why he could go through the 10 tests, even though it was an Ish Chesed. Every one of those tests made him serve God din. And that's why Hashem Elokim. That's why all the midot, God of Chesed, God of din, Avraham was loyal, he was committed. Whatever Hashem put in front of him and told him to do, he did. And that's why he gets that hay. The hay represents Hashem's name. Kiddush Hashem, wherever he went. Our dear, beloved friend, Harav Meir ben Yehuda Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was an Ish Ne'eman. He was absolutely committed to the truth. He was loyal in health, in sickness, in good times, in bad times. Wherever he went, Ne'emanut was his overriding midah. Went from Kristallnacht, came to America, and he lived the Rav's Torah, the Masorah that he learned from the Rav, to be absolutely committed to truth. One of the speakers at the Askara we had the other day mentioned that during one of his classes in Stern College, a girl brought him a sefer from her father that he had published and wanted to give it to Rabbi Fulda, and he said, I'm not taking it. The girl did not understand. She was really surprised, didn't know what's going on. He says, I'll explain it once but in the future, but now I can't tell it to you. At the end of the term, after the grades were given, and the next term began, she came back. He said, now, she didn't come back to his class, but she came back to school. He said, now you can give me the sefer from your father, and I'll explain to you what happened. You're in my class, and I have to be absolutely committed to the truth of what you're supposed to get in that class. I can't be prejudiced. If I accept this gift, maybe it'll prejudice me in a certain way, so I won't be objective in my grade. That's something that he could really learn from the Rav. The Rav was that kind of a man. He was Ne'eman, Matzata Rav, Ne'eman Lefanecha, Ne'eman, loyal to family, spent hundreds and hundreds of days in a hospital with his mother every single day. Loyal to Talmidim. He had over 60 years, I'm sure, around 1,000 Talmidim, around that number. Knew every Talmud's name. Every Talmud's name. Went to countless simchas from one end of the country to the other, and never ever would he take a penny for his expenses to go to a simcha. which is, by the way, I also had that with the Rav when he came to my wedding from Boston. He refused for me to pay for his ticket. I want to tell you a story. His love of people. I was talking to a guard in the building when I came back in the summer, and he said to me, "Did you hear that Rabbi Fulda passed away?" I said, "Sure, I was at the funeral." And he had tears in his eyes. He said, "That man was such a good man." I said, "Really? How did you know him?" He says, "Well, you know, I lived in the same building with Rabbi Fulda. And he was so friendly and so kind. He knew every member of my family. I miss him terribly." In the story of the subway card that we heard, that when he bought a card to go on the subway for a week, and then he did his various trips and had a bit left over in the card money, he would give it away to people. So once he gave it to a lady, and she didn't want to take it, but then she was dressed with a Muslim headdress, and he looks like a rabbi. Then she took it. He insisted, and she took it. A few weeks later, he met her, and she says, "I have to tell you this story. When I got to the booth, I realized I had no money and no card to get into the subway of my own. I used your card." Next Friday, I went to the mosque, and I told the story to the imam, and he told the story from the pulpit, how a rabbi gave his card to me and I was able to get into the subway. So I want to bring you a thank you from the imam. I heard from various people that Rabbi Fulda was invited to a simcha in New York, to Brooklyn, or somewhere like that, Queens, and the chassan, or whoever was doing the simcha, would offer him a car ride. He would say, "No, I don't accept car rides. I go only by subway." "Why do you want to go by subway?" "Because every subway trip, he would sit down next to somebody, make a difference who it was, and start talking to that person, and invariably tell a divrei Torah to this usually non-Jew in order to have him a kabbal kol adam b'seger upon the office and teach Torah." I remember Rabbi Blech gave a story at Asgara, how for 2 years in a row he got the award as being the best Rebbe in JSS. The third year, all of a sudden, he didn't get it. They gave it to Rabbi Blech. I said, "I don't understand. You were the best Rebbe for 2 years. What happened this year?" So he asked the students, and the students said, "Rabbi Fulda in the class told us we're not allowed to vote for him. He wants someone else to get the award as best Rebbe of the year." Ish Nemun, sons of the Rabbi Nemun for Necha, loyal to Yeshiva, walked. I mean, he had many, many operations for very serious illness last 7-8 years. But nevertheless, he always came to the yeshiva and he walked. Whatever the weather was, Nemunus, he was loyal. He reached all the worlds, the embodiment of the great leader of Nemun, of being Ish Nemun, of the word Amen. And on him we can say the pasuk of Avraham Avinu, "Ki yadativ l'man yashiyat zaveh b'nav et beito acharav v'shamu derech Hashem la'aset tzedakah u'mishpat." A person, an ish nesora, took everything he learned in life and in Torah and from his rebbes and passed it on to his family, his talmidim, and every single person that he met as he walked through life. Yehi zichro baruch.
Professor Sover, Talmud and a colleague for 50 years, very full.
Wow. So, I was in a Hasidic Shtibel, Hebrew school, Yiddish speaking, and it was up from YU. He came around, he said, "We're starting a mechina for boys that are religious but are unlearned. And do you have anyone in your community that would be interested in trying out for this?" So my Rebbe, Yisroch Meir Heschel, the Mezbech Rebbe, Say, Chanel, come here for a second. No. He said, you want to go to the yeshiva? I said, I just took a test. I'm going to Bronx High School of Science. They said, go see what this is. So I went and I spoke to this guy called Norman B. Abrams. And I spoke to him and it was possible. I took the test. He says, we want you to speak to our rabbinic advisor, Rav Mendel Zaks. I went to the little office. Rav Mendel was sitting there, smoking with the smoke coming out of him, like, etc., etc., that nicotine beard, you know. And cut the cigarettes in half. And I'm sitting talking to him. And Rav Zaks' first question to me, Nu, bist du ein amerikanischer Jing? I said, you are. For wie kommst du schon in Yiddish? I was in. I was in. None of the other guys spoke Yiddish. I was in. As a result of that, I was accepted and entered in 1958. Moshe Bernstein, I, and Wally Green, other guys that you might know, entered in 1958. I didn't realize it at the beginning of Rav Fulda's career. And he, the older rabbeim that was saved from the Holocaust, that were lucky enough to come to America, were sitting on the top positions in the yeshiva. That was wonderful for us, because we got the genius students who couldn't teach those until much, much, much later. And therefore, our group had the schus to have some of the finest minds of Europe teaching us. Nobody. And what did he teach? The first of his dinner, he taught about the laws of Shabbos. And he taught about, he says, Chaim, you live in a place called Knesset Yisrael. Let's speak about the Mishkan and Avodah and what's permitted and what's not permitted on Shabbos and what Knesset Yisrael means. All of us, it means. It means all of us, alus zamin mit, all of us together. And his nature, and he went on to the Knesset Yisrael for maybe 5 minutes, how Benjamin Franklin said, either we all hang together or we all hang separately. And who is the greatest Rebbe among the Rebbeim? Hitler. He taught us to be together, never to turn our back on another Jew, never to hold anyone in contempt because they don't do this mitzvah or that mitzvah, but together. Our greatest teacher, the greatest lesson that came out of this horrible war that we've just been through, this Korban, is that we Jews must stick together. This is America. You guys, you're in need of families. In order to have families that know Torah, Shema b'ni Musa Ravicha, Al Titosh Torah Simecha, the women have to learn. The women have to learn everything because they're going to be the bedrock on the families. And together, father and mother will build new homes, new Torah homes, and America will thrive. And the yeshiva will thrive. And the message of Europe will carry over, and it will thrive. I see him talking over there, I start to cry. He doesn't need that microphone. He had a microphone in front of him. He had a piercing voice, went right through into your shoes. Also, I never wear a tie. Leib Zionist, you know, kibbutz guy. Not forever. I said, Rebbe, I'm going to speak about you today. He says, you have to wear a jacket and a tie. I said, how about a sweater? Sweater is good. I got the sweater. I just want him to know wherever he is in heaven, I'm dressed. Via Talmud Chochem, I'm dressed. I wouldn't insult you. Towards the end, two things I want to tell you that happened very recently. And then, when you're a student, a guy comes into my class yesterday, and he's wearing a sweater like I wear, and he yells out, look, Professor Sober, I look like you. When my wife started to teach in Passaic, she says, what should I teach them? I said, listen, they're not going to learn what you're teaching. They're going to learn who you are. They're going to look at the way you dress, at the way you speak, at the way you carry yourself. You have to be a dugmai shit. You have to be a personal guide to who they are. And they notice everything. They notice what you say. They notice what you have for lunch. And if they love you as a teacher, they get right up into your whole being. And also you may teach them a subject. So I walked into this place and here was this razor sharp mind. Boy, talk about the opposite of chassidus. Wow. In a discussion with him, you felt like your whole nasal cavity cleared up of the thoughts that were in his mind and his interpretation of what his teacher, the Rav, had taught him. I made a joke. I said, you know, Rebbe, you're from Germany. And the Rav is real. Solovier is the nightingale. A Solovietik is a little nightingale that sings. I said, your Rebbe is the fruit of Russia and Poland. I said, but he wrote on Immanuel Kant, the biggest German philosopher of them all. The two of you, it's a synergy, Rebbe. You start where he leaves off, he starts where you leave off. Did he ever get mad at me personally? Yes, he did. Did he ever scream at me personally? A couple of times. One time he screamed at me, I'm riding by in the car, he's going home. I said, Rebbe, get in, I'll give you a drive. He said, good. He gets in the car, and we drive home. He's getting out of the car, he looks at me, he says, who are you visiting? I said, I'm not visiting anybody. He said, let me get this straight. You're not visiting anybody and you took me home? Don't you have to go home? I said, I'll go home. I'll be an hour later. He said, you drove me. I said, Rebbe, I would drive you to the Himalayas. What are you talking about? Don't ever do that again. What? Don't ever pick me up. Don't ever take me anywhere. Unless I specifically ask you, I would. Okay. No, never again. Wouldn't do it. Why? Self-reliance. More than my martial arts teachers. Self-reliance. Last things. And we, Rabbi Eichmann also is on my third floor across the street. We know each other's schedules. When we go to the washroom, when we fill up the coffee with water, when we, etc., etc. In the beginning, Chad Upkowitz used to lay breakfast out on the table in front of the third floor base medrash where KSS is. 5 minutes after that, the elevator door would open, Rav Fulda would come down and pretend that he was looking around. I'm standing way in the back over there and I'm enjoying this, I can't tell you. And he's looking around, you know, and then he said, oh, you happen to see the donuts? And a stock Yetzirah would be in his style. I never saw anybody look at donuts like that. And he sort of saunters over to me. Like this goes every day, I can't. And he's looking around for the one that talks to him. He identifies it. We all say good morning, Rebbe. He says, good morning. In the coat, and he's heading for the thing upstairs. He's going upstairs to the fifth floor. Every morning, I got such an achas from that. And then one day, I say to myself, oh my God, the Rebbe's not eating. I don't know who to call. Maybe he's not breakfast at home. So I found out. I found out that around 11 o'clock, he would walk on the fifth floor. He'd walk up and down the hall for exercise. As soon as I would get out of class, I'd hit the elevator, go up to the fifth floor, and I'd see him. I'd take him by the hand, and we walked together. And I did a breathing exercises with him as we walked on the floor together. Of course, I felt that he needed that. And he asked me about JSS, and he asked me about my family, remembered everybody's name. And I said to him, you know, Rebbe, I don't want to bother you. I know you have a lot on your mind. But to give me some kind of party here next week for my 50th year. And I think it's important, if you can, for you to be there, because if it wasn't for you, I would have never been appointed to JSS, I would have never taught in JSS, I would have never had any influence of etc., etc. I said, the last time I had influence was, you remember, I became senior professor in JSS, and I brought the letter home and I gave it to you. I felt like the homecoming team got the trophy back and gave it to where it belonged, to our folder. He says, okay, I'm going to come. And he did. He showed up for it. He said, I can't speak. So I said the following story. When Rav Bezdin, our leader, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, passed away, there were many forces in the yeshiva that didn't understand JSS and were not for JSS and did not understand the students of JSS or the needs of the Jewish community in the way that Rav Fulda understood. And we had enemies that wanted to do away with the program. And they figured that now that Rav Besdin had gone on to his reward, this was a likui in which they could jump in and then ruin the program. So I saw him talking very, very animated. Rav Yudin became the tutelary head of JSS. Good choice. Fabulous choice. And it wasn't enough. At that time, the dean of students was Blanche Blank. Rav Fulda marched in, said, "You wait here." I said, "Wait out here. You go in." He comes in. He said to Blanche Blank, "JSS is a regular part of the university. I don't want the faculty of JSS to be denigrated in any way. I don't want them to feel like they are less because they're teaching a different kind of student. I want professorships for everybody. Everybody's professor." So she's like, "Yeah, how do I do that?" Blood across the board. He says, "I don't know how it is. All I know is when he went in, I was Mars sober. When he came out, I was professor sober. Because he wanted that program. And he saw me teach all the years and asked me every, what's going on, what's not going on." I said, "Rebbe, I am so proud that you attended this. Because it's, you started me in this. You brought me in on this. You supported us on this. You fought for this. And all I can say is, I hope that you're satisfied with the representation we gave you. So, he's going to be a Melitz Yosher, don't worry about it. And if anything's wrong with his base Melitz, he's going to be screaming to the right people up there, so you better be careful. I love them very much. Thank you."
Before we conclude the program, one closing remark. We felt that was important for the yeshiva to have two commemorations, two days dedicated for Askaras Rav Fulda. Last week, we had one for the community, for the alumni, from the students that Rav Fulda had over the decades. But we wanted to have another morning as today to recognize and understand his legacy. And I hope you got a little bit of a glimpse of that today through the video, through the presentations, and try to take something home with you. Think about Rabbi Fulda's love for Talmidim, for every single person, Jew and non-Jew alike, and how it's our job to be the ones to bring, to be Mis'ayev al Brios, to bring the Shem Shamayim to everyone by being pleasant with everyone. And at the same time, to be principled, to have a sense of determination, as you heard from Professor Sober, to have goals and to go after them and let nothing get in your way to achieve those goals. We're going to end with an audio of a Divrei Bracha from Rav Fulda that he gave the Talmidim last year when he spoke here in the Beis Medrash. And it's his last words of Bracha to give all of us who are here, who are in need of this Bracha.
To teach me a scholar tomorrow. And then he took me to the minyan. One day the Rav announced that the Chofetz Chaim is on his way to a different city and has to come to our city to change trains. And he's going to be in the railroad station from 4:30 to 5:30. And he wants every man to go. He showed me to the Golden Door. My father figured, "I can't teach my son anyway. That's good thing. So you know what? I'll take him with me. So later on I can tell him we're in the presence of the Golden Door." And before the time got off the train, I was the only little boy there. She said, "Great, what about you do?" Nobody knew. So somebody told him, "Fricked him even twice in the ball. I asked the Jew with a big beard, my father with a big beard, so they should go with him out. Maybe he knows. I went over there. My father says, my son, what's he doing here? So we told him. We have to save him, but I couldn't keep him. They went back and told him to go with Chaim. Coach Chaim answered, and I say, come to my brother, bring to my hell. So they brought me over. He put one hand on top of me, started the brother, take us to him. Then he said, there I caught in Golden yet, and somebody shouted out, that's your only say the bris. So he answered, the black that caught in this bar mitzvah. And then he said, you have to say, שתצליח תצלח לרבה בכל השתיפנה. לכן אני רוצה אומר, תלו דברוך הרגל. ברוך השם.
Can we pass the bracha on to us?
Absolutely. I certainly intend to transmit to all of you the same bracha. Yeratzu shetatzliku atzloch al-rabo b'chol ha-shetiknu b'chein b'him b'chein.
Amen.
We're going to end with one more kapitel Tehillim, as we started the program as well, for the situation in Eretz Yisrael today, and to have a refolda in mind as well, to be a Mezuz Yosher for everybody. You turn it off.